Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 5, we were talking about what we need to do to get our prayers answered. Hey, listen closely today.
I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Unbelief is why people don't get saved. If you read Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, you'll say, you see, unbelievers, as sin listed with those that are murderers and adulterers and everything else, unbelievers, unbelief, is one of the ones that are cast into the lake of fire. That's something to think about. Knowing sin is another thing that we're not willing to confess and forsake. That hinders prayer. So I ask, is it worth it? Especially if you're praying for loved ones, that there's a great need there, but you're going to hold on to a sin. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So my friend, please hold on to that. So, as we look at this thing, we've seen confidence in my correct plans, and then we've also seen the confidence here in God and His Word. That is the confidence in the construction of doctrine, and then the confidence that we have as a result of that, of the correct plans, which includes the do's that we should do and the don'ts that we should not do. And that's where we have answers to prayer. So we have confidence by construction of doctrine, confidence by correct plans, but now let's see confidence by counting on it by faith. Now we're in verse 15 here, 1 John chapter 5. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. When you know and understand in your mind through reading the word and his laying it on your heart, it is right to pray for, and it is what he wants. You know that. So what do? You persist in prayer until it happens. Now, it's not the idea, well, I'm going to just persist and persist and persist, just keep praying, 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 praying. If I prayed enough times, God will answer. No, that's not what it's about. You pray because he will answer it, but he will do it and work it out in his time. We may know the will of God, but we may not know his timing. So that's where patience come in. That's why we're told many times, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You just keep doing. The wait is, you know, that term wait often in the scriptures, the idea of waiting a table, like a waitress or somebody waiting a table. You just do what you're supposed to do until the next thing comes up. Okay, so you wait until there's the next step that God gives. Now, we ask is the Greek word showing an inferior asking a superior. That word ask, again, is the Greek word that shows an inferior ask a superior. The idea is then that we don't deserve it and we can't accomplish it of ourselves. Petitions here. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Again, petitions is plural. It is something we ask of him and desired of him, because it would not mean as much coming from someone else as it is coming from God who is the object of our love and life. And so that's where waiting comes in, but that's also where we just keep on doing what we're supposed to do until that prayer is answered. It is interesting, in verse 13 we have the words you and ye. If I'm on Sunday morning preaching and I say to the congregation, you must have faith in God. Now that sounds personal, and it is, but it's also plural in that it's everybody. There may be, 300 people, 400 people in the auditorium. So when I say you, I'm saying that to 400 people, it's plural, and yet it's singular to each individual. Personal, knowing it's for any person. Here it uses words that we know, placing it on the level of the local church. We, the local church, we know. And so, acting together as a local church, we pray together. If your church has a men's prayer time that meets any time other than church services, maybe you have a prayer before church. Maybe you have a prayer on a Monday night like we do, or some other time. Be there. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God almost begs us to pray in the scriptures throughout, ask it of me, I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not, God says. He's always calling on us to pray. And he taught that men ought always to pray. He wants us praying together. And so, we pray, and we pray together. Two or three in his name, he's in the midst. He's at home with us. You see, God is not as impressed with crowds as we are. He is waiting for the heart of love who prays to him. Go to the altar on Sunday morning. If you're church has an altar call, if it has an invitation to end the sermon, and I think most churches do that are heart stripe, you might say Baptist fundamental, we should have them at Sunday morning, Sunday night, and so forth, and revival meetings, and on you can go on down the line, but use that altar. They used to call it a mourner's bench. Now we call it an altar. It doesn't look like what an altar actually looked like in the Bible, but we call it that. And the idea is an altar is where you make a solemn decisions and solemn prayers. And so I get that, but they used to call it the mourner's bench because it was not only to confess sin, but it was there to pray for souls. Mothers come up, pray for wayward children and dads praying and, for the different ones. But again, they come there in God's house, just like Hannah came and prayed for a baby, and God gave her Samuel that she dedicated unto the Lord. And so, we go, we confess sins, but we pray. But again, this, we grew, and yet we know is personal. We know that is personal. We know that he hears us. Why? Because we have gathered in his name to pray for his glory, to pray it according to his will. But it must be according to his will. Not breaking any moral, ethical, or false doctrine. Not a sin. Look, you don't pray for sin. You don't say, Lord, bless this beard, bless this marijuana, bless this adulterous relationship, bless me as I rob the bank, protect me. You don't do that. Lord, bless this rock music that we're using in our church. No, that is blasphemy to pray that way. That is not holy and acceptable unto God. So you pray according to his will. So it must be according to his will. Again, not breaking anything that's moral, anything that's ethical, not praying anything that supports a false doctrine, a sin thing. You don't do that. But keep it in mind, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. If you're not saved, don't expect God to hear your prayers until you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That's the first prayer he wants to hear from you. So my friend, I trust you will pray. If you've not prayed, and ask the Lord to save you, believing that he died on the cross, shedding his blood for you, and you call upon him to save your soul, he will do that. Now, let's go on to verses 16 and 17. He says, if any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, as we look, this is going right in, going from the one thing to the next, as we're looking here at prayer. Now we're looking at 21st century Christianity, God's definition of sin. You see, this 21st century has been in many ways viewed and witnessed. Many formerly Bible-believing fundamental churches drink into the wine of the culture and has become drunk with its fleshliness. You see, much of our difficulty as seeking Christians stems from our unwillingness to take God as he is and adjust our lives accordingly. You see, today's church seems to insist upon trying to modify God and to bring him nearer to our image instead of us to him. The flesh whimpers against the rigor of God's inexorable sentence and yet begs for mercy and a little indulgence of its carnal ways. But my friend, that's no use. We must accept the Lord as he is, as he is revealed in his word, and his will, his way, and learn to love him for who he is. Love him for what he is. He is God, and he is holy. So again, we have witnessed many fundamental churches that have given into the culture.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.